Master know that this was no small request for the one that they loved, needed a miracle fast. They trusted their need to someone who cared, that someone took their need to Christ.
Just smell some opera now. Now, if I was on a basketball court, I'd go. Thank you for that applause. You may be seated. Oh, let's see. I'll have you stand for the whole message. I got to stand, so why not? I think back some 33 years ago. Some of you folks are not even that old. You think if time doesn't go fast, it goes by so fast you don't know where it's going to. I'll be 86 years old next year if I live that long. It wouldn't bother me until God took me home. But I'm not afraid to die. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. I am not afraid to die. I say that before God and all you witnesses. I'm ready to go. I got it all settled. I look at this crowd here and I say, this 33 years ago, this was an empty warehouse. It's his fault, not mine. I learned that from politics. You always blame somebody else. 33 years ago, this was an empty warehouse. And God did something in this place that I walked into it. Every time I walk into it, I weep. Such a joy to see all of you here. Such a joy to see so many of you that have trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If I have a double effect, I'm in a tunnel vision or tunnel hearing. Something happened on my inner ear last week or so, and I feel like I'm in a tunnel talking, but that's all right. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to make this an anniversary day for me or for a wedding day for Mike. I'll let him take care of that for himself. I think he's well capable of handling that situation. And it'll be a situation, that's for sure. Well, I'm glad I got the crowd awake anyhow. Well, Mike asked me if I would speak, and I said, yes, I would. He said, you sure you want to speak? I said, yeah, I'm sure I want to speak. The problem is this, because I said I would speak for him, Brother Massa invited me to his church in November for their anniversary, the 25th anniversary, is that right, Vince?
Yeah.
And so I'll have to take that into consideration too. So you know what? I think I made up my mind when I was sitting here thinking about Vince when his invitation for me to come and speak for him. I think that regardless of how I feel, I'm going to keep on preaching.
Amen.
And if God feels chooses to take me out of the pulpit, let him take me out of the pulpit. That's where he wants me to go. That's where I'll go. I complain so much about being a little shaky. I have to wear a club now. That club is not for my balance now. That club is just to keep the crowds away. You know. So good to see you here, Joe, and your family. So good to see you here, Pat, and your family. John Anderson. Some of you folks that came with us at the very first. What a beautiful place you have to worship in. I'd like to speak to you this morning. I have to be careful how I wander around, too. Everybody's getting ready to catch me in case I fall. Everlasting arms. Don't worry, I'm not going to fall. Is that an Ishner brat there? Okay. Good night. Good to see you, all of you. Eddie Serrano. Who's that beautiful woman you got with Hyde you there? We're glad to see you. I'm sorry. He came to see me last night, and I was sound asleep in bed. I wasn't about to get up. I didn't care even if I was ready. Glad to have you here, Eddie. God bless you. Love you. I'm not going to pick anybody out, but I have been picking some folks out. But, you know, some of these folks are pretty dear to me. Joe Lamantia. Some battles we fought, haven't we, Joe? Thank you, sir. Now, for some of you that are looking at me, just forget about this and let's listen to the message tonight, this morning. I have a little shaky problem here. That's because I'm in love with my wife. That's the trouble. She just shakes me up. You should have seen her this morning. She came out, what is that, orange? Is that orange? What color is that, Bus? She had a pair of yellow shoes on. You're like a peacock I don't know what she's trying to prove. We had to go back up and get shoes for her. Sue's running around like crazy. I'm not going to preach long. In fact, that's all the notes I have, so I guess you'll have to go short. I'd like to speak to you on a subject that some of you might have heard before. It's been a long time ago. Called spiritual suicide. I believe that we're living in a day and age today where a lot of God's people think that everything is all right, but it's not all right.
Yeah.
They're not ready for the coming of the Lord. Not ready. We sing praises, yes. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But you're scared to death that he will come. The reason for that is this, that most people are not aware of the fact, not this church. Thank God for the way this church stands on the doctrine of the coming of the Lord. And the judgment seat of Christ. But there is a day coming where God's people are going to stand and give an account for the way they've been living. And you have to hear the message. I want to take an Old Testament illustration and bring it up to date. I think the great tragedy today in preaching is not enough attention is paid to the Old Testament illustrations. They will reveal what is in the new. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, we find the vow of the Nazarite. If you follow closely, study that portion of God's word very closely, you'll understand what I'm trying to get at. The vow of the Nazarite is like a Christian. One of the things that people fail to realize anymore today is this, that God hates sin. Now, I realize that some of you are going to turn me off right now because he's going to talk on sin, my favorite subject. God is holy. God is sovereign. God demands holiness. God demands perfection from you, my dear friend. He doesn't tolerate any nonsense. There's a day coming that you're going to give an account for your actions here upon this earth. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to preach on the judgment seat of Christ, but I want to remind you of it. If it's the last message that I preach, ever preach here again, here it'll be said it was preaching on the judgment seat of Christ. But I think it's, except for this church, I think it's an unknown subject for Christianity. People don't realize that there is a day coming where Christians are going to be judged for their works. Judged for their works. Now, not the works that they do, but the attitude they had toward the works that they did. How are you living today? What are you living for? Why are you acting like you're acting? Of what sort is it? Of what sort is it? I wish I could have time to, I don't have time for that to put it in this message here. But I wish I could just talk on what sort. What sort is it? God says in the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, of what sort it is. Of what sort it is, your work. Not what you did, not what, but why did you do what you did. Of what sort it is. There's a sorting that God does. He sorts out the good from the bad. And my dear friend, let me tell you something right here now. You can be the greatest Christian in the whole wide world. You can get more money than anybody ever gave in church. But I'll tell you something right here now, my friend. If your attitude is wrong, God counts that against you.
Right.
Now, it's not salvation. You're saved. That's been taken care of. That's settled at the cross. Can we get that once and for all straightened out? The sin question has been settled at the cross. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ was buried for sinners. Jesus Christ arose for sinners.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is coming back for sinners.
Amen.
Saved, but they're saved. Better clarify that. Are you a saved sinner?
Amen.
Well, that makes three of you, so I guess the rest of you, I can preach it. I think I'll change my message. But anyhow, as I said before, I'd like to speak on this subject here and give you an illustration of what spiritual suicide is. I believe that there's some people sitting in this room this morning that you're committing spiritual suicide. You think everything is all right. You're taking life as it takes. You're enjoying good health. Enjoying wealth, enjoying the prosperity of America. But somewhere along the line, you've forgotten about somebody who paid a terrible price for your sin.
Right.
I took a look in the old black book and thrilled me through and through.
Amen.
If you've been saved and born again, it's bound to thrill you too. I was reading along about going home. Found to my surprise, I'm already there in Jesus. I'm living on the other side.
Amen.
I'm living on the other side. I'm living on the other side. That's been taken care of. The sin question has been taken care of. Jesus Christ died for sinners. But this business of living a Christian life is something else. It's something else altogether. Something that you have to answer to God personally. Your hands answered to the Lord Jesus personally at the judgment seat of Christ. You give an account of what sort it is. What kind of work did you do? Why did you do what you did? Why did you do what you did? So I'm going to take this illustration from the Old Testament to make alive fresh and anew spiritual suicide. That doesn't mean that you lost your salvation. It means that you lost your rewards. He says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, he says, I come quickly and I bring my reward with me. Jesus Christ is coming to reward his own. That's what he's coming for. That's what he's coming for, to reward his own for the service that they've done. And so in Numbers chapter 6, we have the story of the illustrations, Old Testament illustration of a New Testament truth, New Testament doctrine. Every one of us shall stand and give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. Beginning with verse 13, and this is the law of the Nazarite, when the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You have to study this for yourself in your quiet time. Study this for yourself. Notice he says in his days of his separation. Did you know that when you got saved, you got separated? Saved to serve. Saved to serve. We've missed it. We've missed it. Separated unto a greater work. Verse 14. He shall offer his offering unto the Lord one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a hard burnt offering. Now don't get nervous with all this old-fashioned Old Testament stuff. We'll bring it all together and make it alive for you, Lord willing. He shall offer one lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering. And one ewe lamb, female lamb, of the first year without blemish for a sin offering. And one ram without blemish for peace offerings. This is what he was to, if he was to sin, this is what he was to offer. That was the way he did it in the Old Testament, if he was a Nazarite. The way you do it in the New Testament, if you're a born-again Christian, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you this person a question? This is a kind of a wedding ceremony message. Some message. Did you ask God's forgiveness for the sins you committed yesterday? It's getting quieter than a turkey farm on Thanksgiving afternoon. Did you ask God forgiveness for the things that you committed yesterday that you know you shouldn't have done? Or the things you should have done that you didn't do? Or did you just go along and making your buck? Going to Walmart, Kmart, whatever else you're in. Just going ahead spending your money like as if you were and had all no tomorrow. Or did you honestly stop one day and consider and evaluate, and that's what God wants you to evaluate your life. What did I accomplish yesterday that a non-Christian could have done? That's what I'd like to ask you. What did you do yesterday that an atheist couldn't have done for the glory of Christ? Now this message is going to get, it's not going to be a hoorah message. It's going to be a sobering message, I hope. So he had to offer a male lamb, a female lamb, and a ram. But that didn't complete the thing. You ought to study the number 4 in the Bible and you'll find out exactly why it's 4. In this particular illustration. Now then he goes down to verse 15, the basket of unleavened, I don't need to read that. 16, and the priest, I don't need to read that. 17, he offers a ram for, I don't need to read that. Come down to verse 18, I need to read that. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder, nope, that's the wrong verse. And the Nazarite shall shave his head of his preparation, of his separation. Shall shave his head. I'm already. Joe, you're getting there. Tony, you're trying to cover up. up and look at the crowd. Have his head shaved. So all we're talking about here is this very simply and clearly and plainly. If a Nazarite was separated unto the Lord. Separated unto the Lord. Do you realize one thing, my dear friend? Get this thing straight. When you got saved, you got separated for the Lord.
Right.
You got separated from the Lord. Somebody say amen or go home.
Right.
That goes for you too, Eschner. Well, I see so many old friends here. See some friends I wish I'd have forgotten a long time ago, but that's all right. Let's loosen up, folks. Let's just loosen up. This is a wedding. This is not a funeral. You were separated when you got saved. Separated from things of the world. You separated. You realize when a cop comes to ask you, what's your address? You can tell them, I don't know. That you're lying. What's your address, heaven? So try that sometime and see if you can get out of the ticket. Separated unto the Lord. Separate. My dear friend, let me get something straight. What I'm trying to say this morning is this, according to God's word, that when a man or a woman is born again, you are separated from the things of the world, things of the activities of the world,
amen,
the language of the world,
amen,
the things of the world. You are separated to a greater land.
Amen. Right.
Yeah.
Now, come on, somebody say amen, even if you don't mean it. You may not have to mean it. Just say amen, and I won't get after you. I think that's one of the greatest truths. After salvation comes, there's something that happens to a person that he becomes aware of in his life, and I hope that you have it. Sanctification! 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 Somebody says, that's too big a word for me. You better get used to it, because that's what's going to be judged for.
Right.
Sanctification.
Right.
Why did you do what you did? Why did you come to church this morning when you could have watched it? Republican convention on TV. Can we get this thing straight? If I never get points straight, let me get the one thing straight. When you got saved, you were separated. 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 How dare you suck on a cigarette? Ooh, that preacher, he's a bad one. I won't leave booze alone either. Pornography. You know, I get this. A lot of these guys say, "Well, I don't mind watching pornography. I don't hurt anybody. I do it in my bedroom. Nobody knows I'm doing it." Yeah, but you do,
amen.
And God does too.
Right.
I'm sure the Holy Spirit's cheering you on.
Yeah.
Separated for the glory of God. We are a separated group for the glory of God. You sang this morning, like I have never heard anybody sing before. That was beautiful this morning. I sing. I walked in that room there, and some guy tried to talk to me, and I started bawling. What beautiful music. What beautiful singing. But do you realize one thing, my dear friend, while you were singing that? You're singing as a separated person. You are separated.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
You're blinking, Joe. J.R., what's the trouble? What are you frowning for, Gene? Am I doing something wrong? When she wiggles her toes and frowns, I know I've said something wrong. We have a man in the Old Testament was a Nazarite. And I'm going to tell you his story, and then we'll be through. I haven't got to the first point here, but we'll get through here. I got an illustration marked down here. I don't know what it's for. I forgot. Said something about my wife with credit cards. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's for, but I'll figure it out before the message is over. Samson was a Nazarite. He was something. He was Mr. Mellow America. He was what I was 3 years ago. I say that for this reason. Some of you tough guys, Some of you strong guys, you think everything is all right, boy. Well, come a time, a little bug will come into your life, and next thing you know, you don't have it. I can't run. I have a tough time at home. Can't get away from my wife.
Amen.
I just can't move like I used to move. Now they put me with a little cane. I wouldn't dare come up on this platform with a cane. I just wouldn't dare. Tony Maracas would never let me. Samson was a spoiled brat. His parents loved him and they gave him anything he wanted. So we'll start with that for illustration and to illustrate what I'm trying to talk about. God hates sin. He absolutely hates sin. He absolutely despises sin. God wants no part of anybody with sin. He died for sinners. And Father, my friends, the trouble is this. We as Christians have started following what the Roman Catholics are following. Menial and venial sins. We think, well, a little sin, that's not too bad. Sin is sin. Samson's going down the road one day. He's a Nazarite, separated. Separated unto God. He's going down the road one day. A lion comes up and he kills the lion. Throws the body in a ditch. Do you actually believe that Samson could kill a lion? Does the Bible say so? Yeah, I believe he could do it. You ever seen anybody kill a lion? Will you please just look around here? This young pastor that stayed here with his stuff, and look what he's done. He's killed a lot of lions. You got a whole church full of lions here. Separate under God. So Samson goes by and he walks by and doesn't pay any attention to it. A little later on, he goes by there again. About 6 months later or so, he goes by there again. And he looks at this carcass of this lion. Now it's all eaten. The vultures have cleaned it up and there's nothing left but the skeleton. But he notices something in there. And I want you to notice this. This is important. He notices the bees have built a honeycomb in there. Now, there was nothing wrong for a Christian, for Samson to eat honey. Nothing wrong with eating honey. It was not a sin to eat honey. But look where the devil put it. In the body of a dead lion. And Nazarite was not to go near anything dead. He was not to touch anything dead. If he did, he was to confess that sin. Samson takes a look at that honeycomb, and he says, dips in it, the bees were out to lunch. He dips in there, tastes that honey, he says, man, this is the sweetest honey in the world. Mother and Dad would sure like to have some. Picks up a McDonald's cup, fills it full of honey, heads for home. Now, my friend, I want to say something to you right here now. The size of the sin doesn't count. It's the sin that counts. I want you to keep in mind during this whole message that it was a little bit of honey. Just a little bit of honey. Just a wee little sin in the honeycomb. Samson goes home, comes in and says, hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. How are you? How are you? He says, fine. So, what do you got there in that cup? Oh, I got honey in there. Oh, yeah. Where'd you get the honey? Kmart? No, they don't sell honey down there. I went to the other place. Where'd you get that honey? Dad says, Samson, you didn't get that honey out of that body of that dead lion, did you? Samson says, so what? The honey's good. It tastes good. It's delicious. You'll love it, Dad. Yeah, but you know what the Bible says. Oh, now here we go again on the Bible stuff, all that Bible stuff. Here we go on the Bible, Dad. Can't you ever talk about anything except the Bible? So there's nothing else to talk about, Dad said. That's what Deuteronomy 6 says about your home. I'm sure there isn't anybody sitting here that had children that didn't take some time last week and spend some time in Deuteronomy chapter 6 or some other portion of God's Word to talk to your children about how they should live. I took two little boys, whenever babies, They start to cry. And the mother said, "Will you take care of them, Grandpa?" I said, "Yeah." Pick them up in my arms and walk the halls of the house. We're quoting scripture. Those same two little boys grew up to be 16 and 17. When they were 16 and 17, I took them out of the home and said, let's go to Nicaragua. So we went to South America. Took them on the mission field for 8 days. Exposed them to missions. Today, those two boys, is what God promised me, they take care of them. Today, those two boys that I used to read scripture to when they were crying as babies, because I believe that God took care of that. And that those two boys that I took to the mission field, today one of them is a pastor in Tennessee, Saddle Mountain, got a mountain church. The other one is an associate pastor in St. Louis, Missouri. Don't tell me God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't tell me. Don't tell me God won't honor you if you'll teach your children the Word of God. Dad says, "Well, Samson, don't you know that you're not supposed to take..." He said, "Where was the honey? In the body of that dead lion?" He said, "No, I've gone fishing here in the summer. I've gone hunting in the winter." And he said, "I've never seen any honeycombs around here except that one. It was in the body of that dead lion." Samson says, "That's where I got it." "Did you confess it?" "Oh, come on, that's a little sin. Well, that doesn't hurt much." Dad said, "Listen, you're going to live in this house, you're going to confess that sin or else that's going to be trouble." That's all. Samson slammed the door and walked out. Started down the road and started walking down the road. God says, "Hi, Samson." Samson says, "Hi, God." He says, "Samson, you don't seem to have the joy down in your heart like you used to have it. What's it all about?" "Oh," he says, "I got some trouble at home." "What was the trouble at home?" "Well, I took a little bit of honey and..." "Oh, out of the body of the dead lion," God said. "Yeah." "You didn't confess it?" "No." "Samson, you're in trouble." And so God explained to him what he was supposed to do. Samson went on his way and says, "I'll take care of it." Next day, next day went by. Please listen carefully. Next day went by, he didn't confess it. He said, "What am I supposed to do? Offer a female lamb." Didn't confess it. That's the only way you can do it. Make a long story short, Samson's wife burned to death. God got his female lamb. You better wake up, and I better wake up. God hates sin. And the size of the sin doesn't count with God. It's a sin. Samson's wife burned to death. Samson walking down the road one next day after the funeral. Comes along, and God says, "Hi, Samson." Samson says, "Hi, God." God says, "You don't seem to be happy at all, Samson. What seems your choice?" "Well, you wouldn't either if you just lost your wife." God says, "I did lose my wife, but I'll find her again." And that's another message. "Samson, what happened?" "Well, my wife burned to death. You know that." "Well, did you offer a female lamb?" "No." God says, "I get my lamb. God's promises are always true. I'll get my lamb, and it doesn't make a difference how I get it, I'm going to get it." You say, "Well, I don't understand why God would do something like that." Don't worry about that thing. You can't understand God. You would be God if you did. Isaiah 55 makes it clear and plain that your ways are not like His ways, and His ways are not like your ways, and His thoughts are not like your thoughts, and your thoughts are not like His thoughts. There's nobody like God. If you were God this morning, you'd wipe me off the face of the earth before I got saved. God says, "Samson, you better take care of that confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's God's promise. That's God's command to you. You're to confess your sin. You don't let it go by and let it go by and let it go by and let it go by. Samson says, "Well, Lord, I tell you, I guess I'm all clear then." Wait a minute. There's something else you got to do. You got to offer a male lamb. Oh, is that right? Yeah, you got to offer a male lamb. Well, okay, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that right away. So you better take care of it right away. Samson goes 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. No confession. Is God true to His word? He sure is. Samson's father-in-law burned to death. Am I making my point? Little sin. God doesn't pay attention to little sins. Yes, He does. And God holds you to that. Listen, when God says to you that He's supposed to train up a child in the way he's going, when he's old, he'll not depart from it, He meant that. Get on the stick now. Let's get going. Samson's going down the street. God says to him, Samson, how's everything going? Boy, how do you expect? I had 2 funerals in a week. God says, well, that was your fault, wasn't it? Samson says, yeah, you're right, God. It was my fault. I should have paid attention to you. You paying attention now? No, I guess I'm not. What do you got to do? I got to get a haircut. Separated means separated. Shave the head. Not a little inch above the ear, not a little quarter of an inch above the nose, but I cut it all off. You see, the separation, the cutting off all the hairs, what God is trying to say to you is clearly and plainly, when He wants something separated, He wants it totally separated. You don't tolerate. Do they know at work that you're a Christian? Do they know at work that you're at school that you're a child of God, that you've been separated from the things of the world? Do they know at your work what you are? Separated for the glory of God. Amen. What glory did you bring yesterday? Day before yesterday? Past week? What glory did you bring for God? What glory did you bring for God? Samson says, Lord, what else am I supposed to do? Samson says, you're supposed to get a haircut. Okay, I'll take care of that right away. But you see, Samson had those 7 gold, beautiful locks. I don't know whether they were gold or not, but they were 7 locks. And he was so... The girls used to love to run their fingers through his gold, curly locks. Now my wife just pats me on my bald head. That's all. She said, boy, old gray Mary ain't what he used to be. And I don't think that's right. Something wrong there somewhere. So anyhow, Samson goes 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days without getting his haircut. But God says, get a haircut. Something so nominal, something so simple. Come on, wake up, folks. This is God talking. He says, get a haircut. If God says get a haircut, He means get a haircut.
Right. Amen.
If you're separated, you're separated. You're different than anybody else.
Right.
Samson goes 2 weeks without getting his haircut. His wife fooled him, found out where his strength was, and got his haircut, but look what he lost in the deal. All of his strength. And he's tied to a grinding wheel, going around in circles, blind, out of fellowship with God, doesn't know what to do about it. And Samson says, boy, I wish I had just done what God told me to do. How many times have you said, I wish I had done just what God told me to do?
Amen.
Or how many times have you said, I wish I knew what God was telling me to do?
Amen.
That's why you got a church here. That's why you got a pastor here. That's why you got associates here. There's people that will help you. That's why church is what it is. I'm all right. That's why church is what it is.
Right.
Supposed to be a helpmate, a place to help you to understand what God wants for you. Boy, you young men, I tell you, this church is full of young men. I'm excited about it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, maybe not excited about the 2 Sylvestris, but I'm excited. There he is, going around on a grinding wheel, and God says to him, Hi, Samson. God says, Samson says, who's that talking? I can't see. I'm blind. God says, it's me. It's me, Samson. What are you doing here, tied to the world with a grinding wheel, and blind, and dirty. And what are you doing there? You're supposed to be for the glory of God. What are you doing tied up to a wheel? And God says, well, Samson said, I don't know, God. I just don't know what happened. He said something about getting a haircut, and I didn't get one when I was supposed to get one, but they gave me one, and I lost all my strength. And you know what? I'll tell you something. If you're not separated to the Lord like you're supposed to be, you lose your strength. You wonder why things don't go like they're going? You're supposed to be separated. That's a dry message, and I haven't had too many amens out of it. And this is all right. This tells me they've got a room full of sinners. I go ahead and talk. Samson says, I don't know what to do. God says, well, there's one thing you can do. Samson says, what's that? Yeah, but you won't want to do it, God says. Yes, Samson says, I'll do it. If you'll tell me what it is, what'll I do? He says, wipe the slate clean. It'll be complete the vow. Well, I'll be all set. I'll be forgiven. God says, you hear that, Samson? Samson says, you tell me what it is, I'll do it. I don't care what it is, God, I'll do it. I'll do it right away. Sure you will. You're blind and tied to a granny wheel. You'll do anything when you're in trouble. Make a long story short, God says, Samson, how about that ram? Can we read it? How about that ram? Ooh. Well, God, if I get a ram, I'll sacrifice a ram. Will I wipe the slate clean? Yeah, that's all taken care of. That'll be your vow. That'll take care of your vow. Oh, boy, that's great. But the only trouble is, God, how am I going to get a lamb? How am I going to get a ram? Here's the punchline. I'm tied to a wheel. I'm blind. I don't know what to do. How do I get a ram? God came with those words. How about you, Samson? Spiritual suicide. How about you, Samson? What do you mean, God, how about me? How about you, Samson? I'm to get a male ram? And there's nothing available, and you're blind, and you can't see if you're going to get one, but how about you? You forgot about that one important thing, you. That's what God was building up to. How about you, Samson? Samson says, you mean if I offer myself as a sacrifice, that'll forgive it? God says, listen. I said I wanted a female lamb, I want a male lamb, I wanted a haircut, and I wanted a ram. And that's the four things that are necessary. And you better do it. God says, Samson says, okay, God, let's go ahead and do it. Little boy standing by the side, and Samson took his hand. Little boy led and took him. Led by a little child, Samson took that little boy's hand. Little boy led him from there, and Samson says, now, I don't know how I'm going to whip all these people. You know what he forgot? He forgot that all this time that he was in trouble, his hair grew again. He got his strength back. He forgot he had his strength. You know one of the greatest tragedies in the whole wide world among God's people, when they get out of fellowship with God, they fail to realize that they've lost the strength of the Lord. Lost the strength of the Lord. Without the strength of the Lord, you can't fight sin. You can't whip sin. You can't confess sin. You can't do anything, my friend. You're lost. Not lost unsaved, but lost as far as help is concerned. What should I do? God says, hey, your hair is growing back. Tear the place apart. The Bible says Samson told that boy, put one arm under one pillar and put one arm on the other pillar. And he said, let's do it. And with one blast, he brought down the house, killed more people in his death than he did in his life. But listen, he died a suicide. A spiritual suicide. And it cost him the life of two people that he loved very dearly. That's an illustration. It's an interesting illustration. I say to you, do you believe that's true? Bible says so?
Amen.
You believe that's true?
Amen.
Then how ought we live from this day forth? Separated, separated, separated under the glory of God. One day He's coming, and boy, I'll tell you, I'm not a time setter. I don't say it, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's getting a little close.
Amen.
Getting a little close.
Right.
Getting a little close. It'll probably be another 100 years, but that's still a little close. God says, I don't predict anymore about the coming of the Lord. I said, why not? He said, well, he said, if the coming of the Lord, if he comes when I said he was going to come, nobody will pay attention to me anyhow. And if it doesn't come when I say he's going to come, I'll be the most embarrassed jackass in the whole wide world. If you don't like the word jackass, I can't help it. Because I've met a lot of jackasses in my life. I knew that would stir that guy. I knew that would stir him. You got to cuss a little bit, otherwise Jack doesn't get involved in the message. He's like J. Frank Norris. He enjoyed a good cussing. J. Frank Norris says if you're out of fellowship with God, and he says you have people fighting against you and you're having troubles, he said the best thing you can do is stick your head under a pillow. One or two things. Stick your head under a pillow and just cuss them out. Or go to town where nobody knows you and get drunk. As a preacher, he did all right. Now, let me ask you this question. Are you separated under the Lord? Some of you may be too young to recognize this, but I'm not going to call any names. I think you remember him, Brother Mike. I know some of you old-timers remember him. We had a young man who had a beautiful tenor voice. He went to this church. He and his wife attended, and they were peculiar people, but he could sing. Boy, he could sing. He could bring the stars down. And one day I took him home because he didn't have a car because he couldn't hold a job down. I take his wife home, and the wife says, I want to talk to you, right in front of Jimmy. Just remember his name, Jimmy Wason. You remember him? Guy had a tenor voice that was just, you remember him, Joe? Jimmy Wason. So this is not a preacher story. He could sing. When he sing, you remember him, Tony, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. He could sing, boy, he'd just bring his stars down. He'd make you cry singing. But he was a hypocrite. While we were driving home, I had my dad in my car, and my wife went home with somebody else. She's always going home with somebody else. I don't know. I don't know what that was all about. I'm not sure. But anyhow, it's neither here nor there. She said, I want you to tell Jimmy he's doing wrong. I said, well, what do you mean? Tell him. Well, why can't you tell him? She says, I've tried to tell him. I said, what's he do? I said, he takes marijuana cigarettes and puts them to his two-year-old boy's mouth and has him smoke because he watches how the little boy twists and turns under the influence of marijuana. Bam! I had to break it. I said, is that true? He said, yeah, that's true. He said, it doesn't hurt him. So he said, it doesn't hurt him. He'll be all right, though. I'll take care of it. Started driving on a little bit farther, and I took off. I said, Jimmy, that's the crudest thing in the whole wide world you can do. And I hear him snickering back there. When I heard him snickering, bam, I hit the brakes. And, you know, I'm going to do the Christian thing. I'm going to take him out and kill him. Doing that to a little baby. Make a long story short, I won't tell you how that turned out. Turned out okay. About 3 months, I said, Jimmy, God's going to kill you, boy. God's going to kill you. You're going to commit, you're committing some spiritual suicide. You say you're saved, but you're giving your little boy marijuana cigarettes to smoke. Oh, just a little bit of marijuana, just for the fun of it. About 3 months later, we got a phone call. 4 o'clock in the morning. Eleanor Wason called me. His wife said, "Pastor, could you come out?" I said, "What's wrong?" She says, "Come to the morgue." She said, "I think Jimmy's done in." I said, "Okay, I'll be right out." I went down to the morgue, Staten Island morgue. They pulled the body out. There it was, 40 stab wounds. They find him draped in a car down here on Highland Boulevard. He used to be a cab driver. He started being a cab driver. They find him draped. His legs were wrapped around the steering wheel, and his head was hanging outside the place, and he bled to death. 40 stab wounds. Never did find out why. Who committed a crime? I guess it was all drug busting. You know, drug busting, you can't tell what's going to happen. Beautiful voice. Talent of God, but just a little bit of sin. Just a little bit of sin. Refuse to confess it. I want to say something from the bottom of my heart. As your friend, I want to tell you this right here now. God hates sin. And all Samson's sin was a little bit of honey. Just a little bit of honey. Just a little bit of honey in the body of a dead lion. Just a little bit of honey. It's that just that little bit that'll get you started. My dear friend, just a little bit to get you started. Just that one day that you miss your devotions. Just that one day you don't try to take time with the kids. And be another day, and another day, and another day, and another day, and another day. I think the greatest joy I have is my grandkids and my great-grandkids. They're all saved except one. She's only 4 months old, so we'll give her time to get caught up there. Church, I love you. I don't know how much longer I'll be preaching. But I want to tell you something right here from the bottom of my heart. Don't let sin overcome you. Don't let the devil have his way in your life. I think the greatest question I've asked anybody is, when you're doing something, would you like to have Jesus see you there? Well, let's get serious, people. The coming of Jesus Christ is real. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He said he'd come and he'll come.
Amen. Praise God.
And when he comes, he's going to come to judge. He's the only one who's worthy of judging. He knows everything. He knows the heart. He knows the intent of the heart. He knows the intents of your emotions. He knows the intents of your labors. What have you done this past week for Jesus Christ that an atheist couldn't have done? That's my message. Spiritual suicide. That's all I have to say. If that doesn't do it, it may cost you a lamb. It may cost you a ram. It may cost you a haircut. It wouldn't be so much for some of you guys, but it would. But I'm going to tell you something right here now. Sin is real. And I wish I could get this point across. It's just not the size of the sin that counts. It's the sin that counts. It's the sin that counts. Now you say, "Well, I sinned and I don't know what." Get rid of it. Confess it. Go on from there. There may be some consequences with it. I don't know. That's entirely up to between you and God. The individual that you sinned against. But there's always consequences with sin. But my dear friend, just so long as you're straight with God. All I want to hear when I die is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's all I want to hear. I don't want anything else. I don't want any other rewards. I just want to have the Lord say, "Good, well done, thou good and faithful servant." The adversities came, you didn't quit. Stay with the stuff. 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 Oh, listen, this place is full. God, glory to God. Well, you have no idea, after years of laboring here, how this joy comes into my heart to see all this place filled. and see your pastor. The joy of his life, trying to get married. We're going to rejoice. Thank God. God made it all possible. We thank God for it. But let's be careful of sin. 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 Only takes a little bit of sin, that's all. Just a little bit of sin. Just a little bit of sin. Just a little bit of sin. That's all it takes, just a little bit of sin. Be careful. Be careful. Take a little bit of sin. Make sure that your slate is clean. Make sure you confess. Get things straightened out. Because he's coming. He's coming. He's coming.
Amen.
Well, I thought I heard a trumpet. I get excited when I hear that.
Amen, bro.
But that's just the ringing I have in my ears because I'm so old. That's what it is. I told God, that's one ring I want to leave there. Hey, I've enjoyed talking with you. I've given you my heart. It's my heart's message. I'll turn it over to your beloved pastor.
Amen. Powerful message this morning, huh?
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of God was all over that. And it spoke to my heart this morning. I'm sure it did to yours too. Maybe you're here today and you're saved. And God spoke to your heart through that message. Maybe there are some things in your life and your viewpoint was that they're not so big. They're not so bad. They're not going to hurt me. I know when to stop. I know how to control it. After all, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. A little bit of sin is not so bad. I'd say that's probably the normal way Christians think. That's not abnormal. That's the normal kind of thinking that most Christians have. Hey, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm sealed. I know where I'm going when I die. And we tolerate those little things in our life. And yet it's those little things that grow into big things. And before you know it, you're in real trouble. Now listen, I know there's a wedding this afternoon, but what happens right now in these next few minutes is pretty important. And maybe you're here this morning, you came for a wedding, but God had other reasons for you to be here. God wanted to do something in your heart this morning. And I'll talk to you that are saved here this morning, first of all. If you know things are not right between you and God this morning, you couldn't pick a better day to get it right. You couldn't pick a better time or place to get it right. Right now is the time. And I wonder this morning, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if God spoke to you this morning, maybe like Samson, you thought a little bit of honey, just something so small it wouldn't hurt. But I'll tell you this, I'll remind you, you know, God is not mocked. He will not let you mock him. Whatever you sow, there are consequences. You reap from those things. And how about you this morning, Christian? Is it true in your life this morning? There have been some things, maybe little things, but you've tolerated them. You've let them go. But you know God can't be pleased with that this morning. And he may be showing you some mercy right now and giving you some space to repent. But sooner or later, there's a reckoning for that. There's a reckoning for that. And just because something hasn't happened so far doesn't mean God forgot or didn't know about it. That long suffering of God is salvation. That's mercy. That's just God's kindness to you. But if you're sensitive at all to what the Spirit of God is doing in your life, then and you know of sin in your life, then you can't be happy about it this morning. Now, sin is the problem, but the grace of God is the remedy. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And God is gracious. I'm thankful he's got a merciful heart, a forgiving heart. And you don't have to crawl on your knees and your hands to be forgiven. It is just so easy to make things right with God. And our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. But if God spoke to your heart today and you know you're saved, but you know there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, something you've tolerated, but you want to make it right with the Lord today. You got some sin, something that should not be there, and God spoke to you about it today. You know about it. You want to make it right with him. Maybe it's something in your marriage. Maybe things aren't right between you and your wife. Maybe it's one of those secret sins that nobody knows about. It just happens when you are alone. But you forgot, and just like the preacher said, God's there. He knows. He sees your heart. How about it? Is there anyone like that here this morning? If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand and say, yeah, there's something in my life, and I need to make it right with God this morning. Okay, amen. All right. Between you and God. He sees your heart anyway. You're not hiding anything from Him. Anyone else here this morning? Say, that's me this morning. I've got some things in my life, and I need to make it right. Okay, amen. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else this morning? Amen. Okay, sir. Yes, ma'am. What a message. Anybody else this morning? God spoke to you this morning. Just let God know, Lord, I heard you today. I heard you. I know you were talking to me. And praise God, you can get it solved right now. It's easy. You can come boldly as a child of God. You can come boldly to God's throne, that throne of grace. And you can obtain mercy and you can find grace to help in a time of need. And if you raised your hand this morning, we're going to sing a song in just a minute. But if you raised your hand this morning, I'm going to give you that opportunity, and I hope you will make it right. Whether you stay in your seat or you come up here, it doesn't make any difference. But I'll tell you what, you need to respond to God. You need to make sure that that thing gets clean today. Get it forgiven. Get it confessed. Get it right with God. Get it settled before we end this service. God's given you that opportunity this morning. The message was for you, and God's given you that opportunity. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. I don't know. We have a lot of visitors. Maybe it's possible that you're here this morning and you really don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not talking about what religion you are or what church. That's irrelevant. People don't get into heaven because of their religion. You get into heaven because things are right in your heart between you and God. And the only way they can be right, if you have received from Jesus Christ the salvation He provided, not the one provided by your church, the one provided by God. He provided one through His Son, Jesus Christ. He did not provide one through sacraments or saints or 1,000 other things that churches provide. God provided one salvation through one person. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's the only way. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, there's no other way. The only way things can be right in your heart between you and God is if you have believed and trusted and received the remedy that God provided for your sin, and it's only through Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, it's not a matter of joining this church. It's just a matter of receiving Christ in your heart and trusting Him. Is that anyone here this morning? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but maybe you're here this morning, and if you died today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. Wouldn't this be a wonderful day to get saved? Wouldn't this be a wonderful day to know your sins are all forgiven and you have a home in heaven? Wouldn't you like to get it settled this morning? Is there anyone like that here this morning? Just lift your hand and then put it right back down. Yes, sir. All right. I'm not talking about joining this church. We're not trying to get anything out of you. God is trying to give you something this morning. Is there anyone else here this morning? Say, I know I need to be saved. Please pray for me this morning. Please pray for me. Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Let us pray for you this morning that the Lord may help you to understand His salvation and receive Jesus Christ. Is there anyone else this morning? Lift your hand and then put it right back down. That hand just says, I know I need to be saved. Please pray for me. Anyone else? Just hold it up briefly and put it right back down. All right. Father, Lord, you've seen each and every heart. You've seen the hands that have been lifted this morning. Lord, have your way in each of our lives today. Thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for the reminder, Lord. Father, you do not treat our sin lightly. And Lord, but I'm so thankful that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And Lord, we don't have to grovel. We just have to run to you. So thankful, Lord, for your open arms. May you help each one that is here this morning, that is saved, that acknowledge some sin in their life. Lord, may you help them to make it right this morning. And for this one that's lifted his hand, Lord, about the salvation of his soul, I pray you'd help him to understand this. May he truly receive Jesus Christ this morning. May it be real to him. Take away any doubts and confusion about the subject, Lord. Help him to understand that you paid it all on Calvary. And all he has to do is receive you in his heart, Lord. I pray you'd help him to know that. Help him to understand that. Help him to realize how simple you made it. And Father, may you be honored and glorified in this time now. As we sing, Lord, do your work in the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Just get a hymn book where you are. And we're going to turn to number 375. Let's stand together with your hymn book, 375. We're going to sing. And if you haven't already taken care of whatever it was in your heart that needed to get taken care of, you can do that right now. You can either come here to the front, or if you want somebody to pray with you, just let us know. If you're here this morning and you need to be saved, we can talk to you just in private if you want to. As soon as this service is ended, we'll be happy to sit down with you and open a Bible and show you how you can have eternal life. All right, brother? 375.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee.
Before we sing that last verse, is everything right between you and the Lord this morning? If God spoke to your heart this morning, is everything clean? Are you right? Are you still holding on to something, some sin in your life? Are you still going to play games with God? Don't end up like that young man that Pastor Mel talked about. That's a real story. That's not a preacher's story. That really happened. And there's 1,000 other stories just like that. Men that thought they could play around with sin and that they could get over on God. And you find out it never works. There's a price to pay. And many, many Christians have paid that price for playing around with things in their life. And you're precious to the Lord. He bought you with his blood. And you belong to him. You don't have a right to live your life the way you feel like living it. No Christian does. You don't have a right to make decisions and choices and live your life your way. Say, I'm the captain of my own fate. No, you're not. You're a dummy. If you think you belong to God if you're saved. And you have no right to live like you feel you should live. You only can live the way God says you should live. You belong to him. And if something isn't right with you this morning, don't let this service end with that cloud over us here. Don't let this service end with God displeased with what went on in this room this morning. Let's have his favor on this whole day and this whole service and on your whole life. Don't let it end like that. Don't say, well, boy, I'm glad this is over. Now we can get on to some food or whatever. You know what? Maybe the Lord just got you here this morning because he had something to deal with you about. Why don't you get it cleaned up? If you haven't done it, we're just going to sing one more verse. We're not going to drag this out. Not going to try and make you cry. But if there's something that needs to be made right, you do it right now while you're here before you go. All right, let's sing that last verse.
And I have brought to thee down from my home above. salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Father, Lord, thank you for the time together this morning. Lord, I pray you've had your way in every heart this morning. It's hard to know that, Lord, but I hope so. I pray, Lord, this morning there's not somebody that's going to walk out of here and hope that you didn't know. But, Lord, you see our hearts and you know the truth. Father, if there's still some brother or sister in Christ that got something hidden in their heart and they're not right, not clean with you today, Lord, I pray that you'd help them, Lord. They don't have to leave this place this morning in that condition. Just bless them and help them, Lord. May there be repentance and forgiveness today. And, Lord, may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, would you sit down for just 1 minute, please? Before we leave, I just need to give you a couple of words of instruction, if I could. And this will take just 2 minutes.